We are back with Nick Kukru, one of the Nicks of Nick and Nick, the North Shore Sports Desk and the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. It is now part of MSO, we're so proud to say, and we're so glad to have them part of MSO. And they're heard generally dropping on Thursdays here, I believe. Nick, do I have that right? You're usually on Thursdays?
Yes, Thursdays. Yeah, we love being a part of it. Like the podcast world, no rigid deadlines. You know, if we got a great interview going, we can let it go as long as it needs to now.
That's the great thing. Or if it's getting boring, you can cut it off to it.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of the internet. We found, Bill and I and Tim, we found that out. It's just so cool because you, my old English teacher used to say, we used to ask him, you raise your hand. Well, she'd say, you know, you got to do an essay. And we'd say, well, how long does it have to be? And she would always say, it has to be long enough to cover the subject, but short enough to be interesting. And that's just perfect for the internet. Nick, I want to bring you in here with Tim, and I want to start with, we've been covering football a lot, and I want to sort of steer away from that and pick up the other sports, particularly on Cape Ann. And I don't know where you want to start. I know Tim will probably ask you about field hockey, so let's start somewhere else first.
I was going to say, that's probably Cape Ann's biggest contenders, you know, Manchester Essex and Gloucester. Gloucester's the 3 seed in Division 3, and, you know, they just knocked off Wilmington 4-1 the other night. They're playing Medfield Wednesday night, and then Manchester Essex, the 2 seed in Division 4. They knocked off Northbridge 5-0 in their first round game. They got Blackstone Valley visiting Manchester on Wednesday. So two opponents I'm not all too familiar with, but I mean, you get into that second round, everyone's for real now.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Yeah.
Hey, Tim.
You know, certainly the first round opponents, you figure, you know, the locals are going to get through those. But then you got to play those teams from the central part of the state, and they're just always tough teams to play against.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't know much about them either. And yeah, usually the good thing about this is that I like, you know, the travel can be tough, but there's no such thing as like a good or bad draw anymore. Your seed is your draw. And I mean, you know, you get, there's no easy roads anymore. You know, you don't really see a ton of, you know, 14 versus a 3 and the records are skewed, but that doesn't mean the team's, you know, any worse. So you got some, you know, evenly matched teams pretty much going on, 16 teams left. I feel like the quarterfinals is definitely anyone's game, but the second round's pretty close. Anybody could be beaten in that round.
You know, I looked at the football pairings and the brackets, and that's what Bill and I have been concentrating on. And I believe, who was telling me this morning? Oh, the Amesbury football coach, Colin McQueen, his dad is a math teacher, and he runs the numbers. And he was saying that as far as they could tell, that across the 8 divisions, there was one upset, meaning one outside the top 8 who sneaked in. I think it might have been Everett. And Everett doesn't sneak in.
They were an 11 seed, so yeah.
So
sounds about right. I mean, they do. They work. And I always tell people, because, you know, I think the coaches, they see them when they first come out. And when they first come out, they're usually a little out of whack. And, you know, you can't really explain sometimes why one team jumped 1 week or one team fell 1 week. But the end product has been pretty spot on.
Yo, Tim.
Okay, what you got?
Letting Nick, you know, respond, Rick. Come on, will you?
What's that?
Pressure on me.
No, there's a delay. There's a delay here. It sounds like it's a big gap, but I think you're just hearing the end of it when I'm still in the gap. So that's we'll just wait. We'll be more patient when it happens.
Oh, thank you for your patience, Rick. Lauren has done such an outstanding job along with her dad, who could coach probably any sport in the
he pretty much does.
You know, but they have amassed a tremendous level of success. And Lauren was in one of the first classes that I taught when I came to Gloucester in the spring of '96, and she was a star athlete then and a great student. And she has just continued to be a star in her coaching career.
Oh yeah, big time. I mean, they got such a, you know, culture with that program. I mean, they just reload, you know, year after year. I mean, last year was, you know, admittedly a little tougher for them than usual. You know, they were coming off that 7-on-7 COVID year, breaking in a lot of new players that would have gotten a chance to play if it was 11 on 11, but, you know, didn't because they took four players off of the field at a time. So they bounced right back this year. 15-1-3 right now. You know, they were runners up only to undefeated Masco in the Northeastern Conference. And I mean, and they're not going anywhere. The core of their team is juniors. I mean, they got some great senior leaders and some of their star players, but, I mean, they're a junior laden team. So they're going to be, right back in the spot next year. They just reload year after year, about as consistent a commodity as it gets in Gloucester.
Let's look at some of the other sports, Nick, and I want to ask you first of all about Gloucester soccer.
Yeah, they lost a heartbreaker on Sunday, 1-0 to Norton in the first round. It was a 19-14 game, so it was fairly evenly matched, but Gloucester really controlled the game. They hit the post four times and lost 1-0. It was one of the more improbable heartbreaking losses I'd seen, and I felt bad for them after because they really did control that game for much of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and actually right now Matt Manning Field and Lynn Rockport boys soccer is getting set to play Kip Academy. That's a round of 32 Division 5 game, so which should be interesting. Rockport's so battle tested out of the Cal, and their record isn't as good as Kip's. This seed's not as high as Rockport's, the 19 seed, but I don't think Kip's going to throw anything at them that they haven't already seen before. So this should be, I'm expecting a really tight one here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Kip Academy has performed, I think, unexpectedly well in terms of its athletic programs.
They're tough out in every sport. You know, Rockport and Manchester Essex seem to, Manchester Essex football has a really nice rivalry with them. Those two teams, it's a great take every time they play. And yeah, they're right there. They're in the mix in those lower divisions every year. So I see them a bunch with Rockport and Manchester Essex, and they're formidable in everything.
How about consolation football, Nick? Gloucester doing okay.
Yeah, they look pretty good this week, against Essex Tech. They got a real tough test coming up Thursday at Triton. Triton is, they were a playoff team. They got bounced by Appanequit last week, so that'll be a tall task for them. But a good chance to, for them to show how much they've improved, because I think they have actually improved. I know it was one of the lower points of their season was that Salem loss, but I thought in the second half of that game they really started to figure things out and found their identity, and they've kind of kept that momentum going. They've won three out of their last four now. I know a little too late to get into the playoffs, but it'd be real important to finish, this season with some momentum.
Yeah, I think, Dan would definitely agree with that assessment, especially heading into next year. You're looking for bodies. You're looking mm-hmm. for some new talent. You're looking for a renewed commitment to the program. And certainly ending this season as strongly as possible would go a long way to making that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this season I think was kind of a good start for that, renewal to the program, kind of building that culture back up. And, it wasn't the start that they wanted to get, but they do, have something to salvage here. That's why I like, if you're a team that didn't qualify for the playoffs, I think the consolation round is a good thing. And I think the product, you get two teams that do have something to play for. They want to, finish strong, as opposed to, the problem with the consolation round is a team that's been eliminated from the playoffs and has to play again. That's a totally different story. But if you were a non-qualifier, those games are still big games.
Yeah, and Scrappy is a scrappy team. I know Mark Betancourt praised the kids, even though, he had a 30-point win over Gloucester. But I just want to mention, I want you to mention one more thing, Nick, and that is Don Riley, because Tim alluded to him without naming. I know everybody knows that Lauren's dad is Don Riley, but he's sort of like Mark Betancourt. You said he could coach everything and does. Mark Betancourt, I don't think Mark sleeps. He coaches.
No, I don't think he does either.
He coaches like 10 different sports every season.
And that's not just high school. He was the Peabody West Little League coach. He coaches some of his daughter's softball team, so he's all over the place, and all of his teams are well coached too, no matter what season it is.
Well, and I think just finish the thought that what he's done with that Peabody program, getting it back to its elite level, is really quite a thing to see. He's done a fantastic job.
Yeah, he absolutely has. It wasn't too long ago when Peabody was kind of the doormat of the NEC. I mean, winless season they had one year. They had a season where they had a coaching change in the middle of the season, and he came in and just kind of stabilized you know, everything for them. And you see this year, I mean, they had a great season. I know it was disappointing, and they ran into a tough Bishop Feehan team in the first round, but yeah, he did. He put Peabody, football back to prominence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nick, would you give him any grief?
About what?
Anything.
No.
Tim, he lost the other night, and you know how scared I was to go interview him?
Oh, I'll tell you, that, you know, when I go for them, no matter what the sport, just even baseball game, if they lost, I'm like, okay, how do I approach this without getting my head screwed?
I tell you what, he could.
His baseball team has had that. O'Malley Fields has not been kind to them in recent years. He's always been a fair, and he always has a very level-headed, you know, feel after, even after a loss.
He,
I will say,
yeah, he really does. But just knowing him, you're going like, oh man, I could get really hurt doing this. You know, I'm gonna break this really gently.
Yeah, and he's been nothing but gracious to us, and we really appreciate it. And the thing is, they were up against it against Bishop Feehan. I mean, these guys, they had 290-pound linemen who were athletes,
yeah.
You know, and so he, you know, he was quick to point that out and praise his kids. So I just wanted to mention what a great job Betancourt and that family does, just like the Riley family in Gloucester. And I know every community's got one of those, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everywhere.
Somebody.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Nick. And what are you doing tonight? It's Kip and Rockport at Manning?
Kip and Rockport. They're about 5-10 minutes away from getting going here.
All right. You got a late night tonight. Hey, Nick, thank you so much. And we'll be listening later on in the week.
Sounds good.